Will you pray with me? Great is your love for us, O God, and great is your joy in us. In these moments, so transform us by that love and joy, and transform us towards that love and joy, that we might share in it, and that we might share it with the world. Amen. Within hours of the collapse of the Twin Towers that September 11th morning, the missing persons posters began going up. They went up outside hospitals and on fences and on store windows. They went up at Union Square and St. Vincent's and on the fence at St. Paul's Chapel. Thousands of flyers all over the city. They stayed for days, for weeks, some even for months. Nobody wanted to take them down. "This person is missing," the signs said. "Please call if you see her." "This person is missing," the signs said. "Please call. Please pray for him." On a day like today, we remember. We remember the losses. We remember the pain of people, including some in our church family, who lost people they loved that day. They never forget what they've lost. And on a milestone like today, we remember with them. There are some things that once you've lost, you can't get back. A life is one of those. That's irreplaceable. There is no changing that loss. There is only a coming to terms with it. Innocence, that's another thing that once it's gone, you can't get it back. Trust. Sometimes when that's lost, you cannot find it again. Lost time, as Benjamin Franklin said, that's another thing that can never be found again. I remember, and there is nothing in this story that is on the order of those kinds of losses, but I remember the first time I lost something that I knew for certain could not be gotten back. I was 5 years old, and I had just come home from a carnival with my mother and my little brother. I had brought home with me a helium balloon. You already know how this is going to end. I was so excited to have that helium balloon that I was going to put in my room. It had been tied in a loop around my skinny little wrist, and as soon as I got out of the car in the driveway, I watched as it slipped off my wrist and over my hand and just out of my reach. I can still see my mother in the driveway on her tiptoes, reaching as fast and as high as she could to try to grab that balloon for me. But it was just beyond her fingertips, too, and away it flew. Actually, my memory on that point is a little bit distorted, because in my mind, what I actually see is her on her tiptoes in the driveway on a ladder, reaching for the balloon just as it sailed past the roof. But I know that doesn't make sense because, first of all, how would she have had time to go get the ladder? And second of all, how could she have climbed up to the roof so fast that it was almost in her reach? So even as a kid, I knew I was remembering that part wrong. And yet, on a metaphorical level, wasn't I actually remembering that part right? Because that is what a mother does. And that is what a father does. They go to any lengths they can to protect their child from grief. They do whatever they can to keep their child from that loss, to recover, to find what is gone. But my mom couldn't protect me from that one. And all these years and years later, I can still remember the exact way it felt standing in that driveway, watching that balloon float away. That dropping sensation in the stomach. The way a hole kind of burst open inside me. And that automatic rewind of the brain as I watched each moment, the loop, it went, it flew, my mom. If I could just rewind it and grab at the right moment, I could undo what had been done. Such a sharp, potent, painful mix of longing and regret. When you can't undo what has just happened, when you can't get back to what you had just had a moment before. I know, it was just a balloon.
I'm not
sure. Isn't that one of the ways we try to soften our losses, though, and the awful feeling? We try to tell ourselves it didn't really matter that much. Or other people try to tell us that it doesn't really matter that much, does it? But there are times that you know how much something really does matter. And you just have to try to find it if you can. So you will keep looking, sometimes for days, sometimes for longer, for the cat who ran away, for the dog who slipped out of the yard, for the ring that came off your finger while you were doing the dishes. There will be people who tell you, just let it go. You can get another one. You just need to accept you're not going to find it. But sometimes you know it just matters too much to give up. And you will keep looking long past the time when it seems like there's no hope. And sometimes it's only after you lost a thing that you realized how much it really did matter. Loss has a way of focusing us. It makes us realize more than ever what really matters. When Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, he told some stories about this. He had been on the road for a while, teaching all along the way, and more people were coming to listen to him, drawn by the things he was saying and the things he was doing. They found something in him that maybe they didn't even realize they'd been looking for. He would have dinner with some of them. He would stay in some of their homes. And a lot of these people were not your typical religious types. And he welcomed them. And then the people who were your typical religious types, they didn't care for that very much. And because there is nothing that brings people together quite like collective complaining, the religious people began to grumble to each other and said, "This guy welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Sometimes, when you're a part of a group, or you're part of an institution and you're part of a tradition, you get so caught up in the way things have always been and the way you think they always should be. You get so caught up in maintaining the way you think things are supposed to go that it can be very difficult to see clearly what actually matters or who actually matters. So Jesus told them these stories to try to help them get some perspective. He asked the scribes and the Pharisees directly, "Which one of you, if you had 100 sheep and you lost one, wouldn't leave the 99 in the wilderness to go searching for the one you lost until you found it? And when you found it, you would put it on your shoulders and rejoice, and you would go home, and you would call up all your friends and neighbors, and you would say to them, 'Rejoice with me, celebrate with me, because I found one sheep that was lost.'" I know, it was just a sheep. Just one sheep out of a whole flock. But according to Jesus, that one sheep mattered so much. And he implied that any of them would feel the same way and do the same thing. I don't know what the scribes and the Pharisees felt about that. Was it true what he said? Was it true that if they lost one sheep out of 100, that they would leave the 99 behind to go look for the one? And then, was it true that if they found a single sheep, that they would call up all their friends and neighbors for a party? I don't know. But I know what it feels like to find something like that. I know what it feels like to find something that you thought might be gone for good, and then you look and look, and then you find it. And don't you want to tell everyone when you do? Jesus knew what that felt like too. So he told another story. If a woman had 10 silver coins and she lost one of them, wouldn't she light a lamp and sweep the whole house and search until she found that one coin? And then when she found it, wouldn't she call all her friends and neighbors and say, "Come have a party with me because I found the coin I had lost"? I know. It was just a coin. Was it true that most women would do what Jesus said and burn precious oil to light a lamp and clean the whole house to try to find the coin? And then when they found that coin, would they maybe spend some of the money that they had to throw a party to celebrate with their friends and neighbors? I don't know. But I do know what it feels like to find something you were afraid was gone for good. I know what it feels like when that thing has not only sentimental value, but actual economic value. I know how awful it feels to lose a thing like that. And I know how amazing it feels to find a thing like that. I know how it feels to want to tell everybody the story of it. Jesus knew, too. And then he told the scribes and Pharisees to imagine that what he was talking about was not possessions, but people. I can imagine that, can't you? I know what it feels like to lose somebody that I thought was gone for good and to fear the worst. And I know what it feels like to hear the impossible words, "Here he is, I found him." And I know this, when that happens, there really is nothing to do but to cry and to laugh and then to call everybody up and say, "Come celebrate with me. This person was lost, and now he's found. Jesus knew what that was like. If you lose something, or you lose someone that matters very much to you, if there is any chance of finding it, of finding him or of finding her, then you are going to look and look and look. And you will turn the house upside down. And you will turn your life upside down if you have to. And then when you find something like that, whether it's a pet or a coin or a ring or a person, when you get back the thing that you thought you'd lost for good, what can you do but tell people about it? Share your good news and invite them to celebrate with you. Because the one thing better than joy is joy that is shared. Come celebrate with me, you say. I found it. I found him. I found her. Let's party. This is what God is like, Jesus told them. God is like a shepherd who goes through the wilderness to find a single lost sheep, because that one little sheep matters so much. And God is like a woman who will light a lamp and turn the house upside down to find a single lost coin, because that single coin is worth more than it seems. God is like someone who will look and look and look for us because we matter, because we are irreplaceable, because God longs for us. And Jesus' whole life was testimony to that. And when we slip away from God, when we turn away from what matters most, God will keep coming for us. And when we turn towards God, and that's what repentance is, it's a turning. When we turn towards God, who has always been turning towards us, there is from God no rebuke, no anger, no shame. There is only and always joy. So much joy. Are we the sheep? Are we the coin? Are we the balloon floating just out of reach? Are we the seekers? Are we the religious folks who have lost sight of what matters? Are we the sinners who have found something in Jesus we didn't know we were missing? Are we the lost ones? Are we the ones who know we've been found? Maybe we've been all those things. But look, Jesus says, here is who God is. God is the one who comes looking for us, and not just for us, but for all. God is the one who desires each one of us so much that the search will never stop. God is the one who has decided that we matter, that we are precious, that we are irreplaceable, and that we are so loved. God is the one we belonged to from the beginning. And God is the one who finds us and brings us home. And if we believe that, and if we say we belong to such a God as that, then what is left to do but to share in that joy? In God's great celebration, there is no place for judgment or for shaming or for lines drawn. There is only welcome. There is only desire for all to come. There is only invitation. And the invitation is this: rejoice with me.